In the 25th verse, it speaks of a cold glass of water. It says, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And it goes on to say that a righteous man falleth down. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You know, there's something you really need to consider, folks. A person that hath no rule over his spirit. I was talking to somebody today about just following their feelings and following their desires. You know, you have all kind of feelings, all kind of desires, impulses, reflex through life. And people that are out in the world, they just go by that. They have a feeling, they want to go fishing, they want to go fishing, they want to go fishing, and they don't stop until they go fishing. They have a feeling they want to go hunting, they want to go hunting. They have a feeling they want to take up time with another man's wife, take up time with another man's wife, take up time with another man's wife. A feeling that they want to run after another woman's husband, run after another woman's husband, run after another woman's husband. Or they have these feelings, I'm going to eat, eat, eat till I get my fill. Hot dogs and ice cream and soda pop and some I'm going to ride, ride, ride. Some I'm just going to make money, make money, make money. See, they follow after their feelings. Whatever their feelings are, whatever their desires are, their spirit just follows whatever that desire is. Satan that savors the things that be of the flesh, that be of the world, they just get a feeling, you know. I'm going after drink. I'm going after dope. I'm going after frolic. I'm going after fighting. I'm going to be a show out. I'm going to be mean. I'm going to be tough. I'm going to be an executive. I'm going to be a president. I'm going to be a governor. I'm going to be a celebrity. And they just go after these things, you know. And they look from one goody to another goody, from one pretty to another pretty, like a little child. But it's like I told somebody today. I said, now you've been doing that. I said, but now you're grown up. I said, God made allowance for you when you did that because you've been a child and you've been in the developing stages and God's been good to you. I said, and he allowed you to do that because you was just a child. I said, just following your feelings, spinning your wheels, as we say. You know, these kind of things, I said, you did that. I said, but now you are a grown up. I said, now you are a man. Now you are developed. I said, so then that means that God is going to expect something out of you because your decisions, your programs, and your plans, I said, it's going to affect people. And I said, it's going to injure people or either help people, and God is going to hold you accountable for it. So then I said, you're going to have to take control over your body, your desires, the infatuations of the flesh, and you're going to have to control the body, and you're going to have to think things out and make sober decisions and decide what is best and then make your body go after it. And forget about all these feelings and different things of anxiety, whereas the devil savoring the things that be of the flesh and of the world just leads you anywhere, just any old way, as to your hunger and your thirst. See, so we're supposed to hunger and thirst after the things of God. And the Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after the things of God shall be filled. So he said, he that hath no rule over his own spirit, it's like a city that is broken down and without walls. For if the devil is in the world, the prince of the world, savors the things that be of the world, and he is using your body, as to Paul said, no good thing dwelling within the flesh, to get control of your spirit, then he uses your spirit and you don't have any control over your spirit as to a God source, as to a source of understanding, or as to altering it according to the way of God. I'd like for you to think on this for just a minute now. See, a woman is the feminine part, the woman. She's the feminine gender. So then here is the woman. A woman don't have much say through life. She grows up. She's a young girl. She grows up. She has to be under parents' restriction, which is, that's not an unholy thing. The boy has to do that too. But anyway, she grows up and she has to be under the restrictions. And then when she gets older, She has but one choice, one of two things. That's all she has in life, just one choice. And she thinks she's just full of choices and full of her own sovereignty and full of her own doings and full of doing her own thing. But she only has one choice, one of two things. And that is, she has to make a decision either one way or another, because she is drawn toward the man, and the man being drawn toward her, she's looking for marriage. And her decision is as to this extent, that she is either going to get a good man or a bad man. If she gets a bad man, then she's one with him, and that's the end of her life, so far as God is concerned. As long as she's tied up with him and following him, she's one with him. But if she gets a good man going toward God, then he is a good man, and she has a wholesome life that will go right on even into eternity, to where she will have an eternal life, because she hath come together with the good. So then her spirit is given totally to her companion. And her companion, being the strong of species, being the male, he is the head of the family. God has made him to be the head, whereas someone would say, well, six of one, half a dozen of the other, you know, that's what they say, he is the head, but I'm the woman, you know, and as the woman said, he's the head, I'm the neck that turns it. So, and as I said before, she took cancer after that in her neck. But nevertheless, it is a true fact, a woman, she looks at it on a 50-50 basis, whereas God did make it on a 50-50 basis until the woman sinned. And then when the woman sinned, is showing herself to be the weaker species, as the Satan taking over, then Paul said the man shall have rule over the woman. Now, God did that. He did that for this reason. You may think as a woman that you have the equality of the man. Now let's look at it for just a moment. See, the man is the head, and you say, well, I'm just as much head as he is. But see, here's the difference. You can be as strong as he is, and you can even be stronger than he is. But when you do, you have a devil. Anytime a woman rules the house, she is filled with the devil. Unless she is a child of God, and the husband isn't going on with God, and God has strengthened her in the spirit, is not to follow his pernicious ways. But any time a woman rules the house, you hear me through now, it doesn't matter if it's out in the world, it doesn't matter if it's in the church, any time that a woman rules the house, she has a devil. Because no woman is as strong spirited as a man. A man is made as a strong spirit, to where the woman's spirit, God having made it weaker, that it will over a period of time just get weary of trying to prove its point and finally just blend right in and submit to the spirit of the male, and they become one. And she is the body and he is the head. Paul said this is a great mystery concerning the church, that Christ being the head of the church and the woman or the church being the body. So she is the bodily members as to the church and he is the head. Now, I said that to say this. So, normally speaking, she will not be stronger than he, because he is the stronger species. God made it that way. And if the woman's spirit gets stronger, then that means that life is perverted and the woman is perverted. And if the man follows her, then he is perverted. So, for God's sake, and for the glory of having a real life, then the woman must submit. She must honor. She must obey. She must not tell the husband what to do. He must tell her what to do. Now, when a woman goes to a man, she should go with him, not flying off at the handle, as we say, slinging glasses and hitting him over the head with the pillars and slamming the doors. And some of you understand this kind of talk. So she shouldn't go with him that way. She shouldn't slam the door and jump in the car and spin the wheels and she's going to run off and she's going to jump out the door and she's going to commit suicide, you know, if she can't have her way. All of that is a devil. And of course, the man is always to blame, because it doesn't matter whether she does one thing or another. She'll always say, well, he caused me to do it. He talked to me. He didn't treat me right. He just kept on needling me. I just couldn't contain myself, which has nothing to do with it at all. See, not at all. Somebody said, well, I know better than that, Brother Pike. No, I remember a case, a man was after the woman all the time. According to the report, she lived a good life, and then when she'd come home from church, he'd shut the door and she'd have to sit all night in the swing out there to greet him in the morning, honey, I love you, good morning, and go right on. So see, it's nothing to all this foolishness that you use as a hobby horse of excuse so that you can have your way. As a matter of fact, you need to be careful because sometimes you will commit suicide because none of you don't intend to do it. You're just trying to have your way and you're seeing how far you can go. And sometimes God can't get to you in time and then they have to bury you. That don't sound good, lady folks, don't. You know, the lady folks say, well, I like my pastor pretty good, but that done it then. That done it. All right, Paul, you're a woman hater, they said. All right. So then, what is this? A woman should never do that. Somebody says, you can't prove that by the Bible. Well, let me prove it by the Bible. The woman being a type of the church, she's either a type of the church or a type of the world, depending on whether she's born again or not. The man is a type of Christ or either a type of the devil, depending on whether or not he's born again. All right, let's look at it. Do you see any place in the Bible where the Lord Jesus is standing there as the head and we as the church go to him and we say, see here, we don't like the way you're running things. I think this thing is on a 50-50 basis and I think you're mistreating me and you about made me commit suicide and I think I'm going to kill myself if you don't soften up a little bit. Have you ever read anything like that? Do you think that is to be even heard of? No. No, and it's the same way with the woman. You say, well, what is the place for the woman? Well, the Bible said Abraham's wife called him Lord, and you do well if you do the same thing without any amazement. It's getting worse and worse. I can tell the way you're thinking. All right. So the fellas ought to be feeling real good by now. Now, if you cannot rule your house... You know, somebody says, I'm going to rule my house. I rule it with an iron fist. Well, that's true. There are some devils that do that. But the thing is, that wasn't the way God made you. He didn't make you to be a devil. He said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, or devil. He said concerning Judas, you are a devil. See, God didn't make us to be devils. He made us to love. The Bible said the man should love the wife even as Christ loved the church, insomuch that he gave his life for the church to redeem it to himself with all purity, with all virginity, with all holiness. He wanted it to be pure, but he doesn't allow the church to sass back at him. He doesn't allow the church to talk back to him. You start sassing back at God and he'll show you a little grace. And you do something contrary to him, he'll show you a little grace. And he'll keep on stretching out, showing you grace and being kind to you. Until after a while, he'll take you up. And when he gets through chastising you and putting you through the fire, you won't sass him anymore. Like the vision that I had the other night when we was traveling around the world, I had this vision. And in this vision, I was like over here in a hearse like. And there's somebody up here in the front. And I was talking, and I just spoke out. I said, woman, shut your mouth until you can learn to reverence me. So see, just before that, in the same vision, I had seen a woman, and she'd come down here to try to talk to Sister Betty, and she was just bawling because something had happened. See, so God says, woman, shut your mouth until you learn to reverence me. That is, as to the church, I'll have nothing to do with you until you shut your mouth. The Bible said there's some mouths that ought to be stopped. I'm talking to you women now. You women, how do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking to you women. You women, you need to shut your mouth. You say, well, Brother Pike, what kind of women are you talking to? All kind of women. Jesus said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. Naturally speaking, the women should shut their mouth as it was said in the vision to learn to reverence their husband. The Bible said, wives, reverence your husband. When you come into this church, you reverence God. You reverence the preacher to the extent you say reverent to him. See, and when it comes to your husband, you are supposed to realize he's the reverent of the house. And you are to reverence him. And at any time that you talk back to him and you act ugly to him, you are weighed in the balances of God and you're found wanting. Somebody said, well, he's so wicked, he's so cruel, he's so ugly, he's so distasteful. I don't like him. If you don't like him, then go to your closet and pray. And if he talks mean to you when you come back, go to your closet and pray again. And if he talks mean to you when you come back, go to your closet and pray again. And if he does that 7 times in a day, just forgive him and go to your closet and pray again. And somebody says, yes, and just go on living through this life being mistreated and whatever. Some people have done that. For the glory of God, I think it's wonderful because their crown is even greater. It's even more blessed. At least you've got some way to really receive something outstanding. But on the other hand, you won't have to pray but a few times and God will break his neck like the stubborn ass and you'll get yourself another husband or you won't have to worry about him. It don't take long for God to break his neck because the Bible speaks of breaking the neck of the stubborn ass and God will break his neck. That is to say, the Bible said, deal not treacherously against the wife of thy youth, for God hateth putting away. And when he gets his eyes on somebody else and then he's going to run off with somebody else or he's secretly doing things undercover as to betray the vows of the marriage, God will break his neck. God will catch up with him. God will kill him in a wreck or break his neck or let something bad happen to him. I've seen this all of my life. It never fails. So the men that are cunning and they think they're getting by with these things, God will eventually break their necks. Or he'll destroy them. He said, beware lest I tear you into pieces, you that forget what I say, or you that forget God. So, I said that to say this. We have a reverence. His name is Jesus. He is our husband, and we are the woman. And he's saying to us, woman, shut your mouth until you can learn to reverence me. Keep your mouth closed. You don't have anything to say until you learn to reverence and respect me. The Bible said, come and let us reason together. And so then when the Bible speaks of us coming and reasoning together, we say, well, there it is. I'm to work out my own salvation, and you don't need to tell me anything. Whereas the Bible says that you are to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. So we go to God and we say, God, you said come and let us reason together. Now I want to reason with you. I don't approve of this and I don't like that. And I don't think it ought to be like that. Lordy, now we're going to reason over this thing and I'm going to tell you the way I feel it ought to be. Folks, somebody got a misinterpretation of the scripture. When he said, come and let us reason together, he meant for you to come and everything he says, you say, amen, amen. He says, and it's going to be that way, and you reason with him and say, yes, amen. We're reasoning together. Whatever you say, that's it, amen. Can anybody dispute that? If you can, tell me. All of his ways is right. Everything he suggests, that's the way it's got to be. You can't lean to your own understanding. So when he said, come and let us reason together, he meant come and reason with me to amen to everything that I say. If you've got any problems, you can present them. If you've got any strong reasoning, you can bring it forth. And when the conversation is ended, everything he said will be right. Everything he told you to do, you must. Everything that he suggested is the only way. That's yea and amen. So we come and reason together. That's the way you reason with God. I go to God and I go to pray and I say, oh my God, that brother over yonder, and I hear something say, love your enemies. I say, yeah, and amen. And I say, Lord, it looks like that over here, you know, we could have more fight. He says, be contented in whatsoever state you find yourself in. I supply all of your needs. I say, yeah, and amen. And I say, Lord, I just don't know what I'm going to do. They mistreat me. And he says, just don't worry about that. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despiteful use you. Pray for them that persecute you. He said, what good thing can you do for that fella? And I say, yea and amen. That's right. You know, if you got somebody really giving you trouble and they're really causing you problem and it's your neighbor over here and you just can't get along with them. And all they do is criticize you and tear you down and say mean things about you. Think of the best thing that you got in the house that you can give them and go over and say, I love you. Here is the best thing I got. I love you, neighbor. And if that is enough, go buy them something else and send them a special thing on their birthday. Do something good. Somebody says, oh, Brother Pike, now that's crazy. You don't really expect us to do that. That's what the Bible said. Do good to your enemies. Like I heard a little thing about Brother Jack Coe one time, and somebody had really mistreated Jack, and Jack went in the house and he got some fine thing out of the house and darted out of the house, and his wife said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to take this over here to the brother. And I believe the wife said, a brother? Said, he's not even a cousin. You know, but he was taking the best thing out of the house to give to her. Now that is salvation. That is the right way. If he spits in your face, wipe it out. If he slaps you on one side, turn the other. If he slaps you on that side, say, God bless you, I love you, and go on your way. Don't stay around for him to slap you again. It just requires one on the other cheeks and then get out of his way. So I find out that you are to love your enemies. You are to do good to them that spitefully use you. You are not to gossip. You're not to backbite. You're not to go home and tear them down. You're not to get together and criticize and find fault with them. You are not to do that. When you do that, you don't have salvation. I said you don't have salvation. The Bible says when he was reviled, he did not revile again. He did not come back at anybody. When they came upon him, Jesus did not come back at anybody. For when he was reviled, he did not revile again. There was no repercussion out of Christ. He just committed himself to God. So then, as Solomon said, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. So then these words that come from God are fitly spoken. We must stop our mouth. The Bible said there are some mouths that need to be stopped, that go about and they are subverting whole households. So these mouths ought to be stopped. So God says, woman, shut thy mouth until you learn to reverence me. If there is a woman that doesn't reverence her husband, let your pastor say to you, woman, shut your mouth until you learn to reverence your husband, because I am a preacher of righteousness, and the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word, and God's word said, wives, reverence your husband. So then when we see this wonderful thing, we know then that as the woman is to the man, so is the church to Christ. We don't need to be boasting within ourselves, lifting up ourselves, magnifying ourselves, doing things as to show ourselves, because we belong to God and he is our head, and we are to reverence and we are to respect him, and we are not to go to him to get him to do what we want to do as to him following us, but we are to go to him that we might submit ourselves to him to do what he wants to do. You know, the problem with the world today, they take the blood of Jesus, they take the grace of Jesus, and they take this as an opportunity to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, in that they take advantage of the days of grace to do their own evil, ugly things as to the lasciviousness of the world, and then eventually they'll find there is no grace. Instead of taking it as to a time of conformity unto God, they go just exactly the opposite way, always getting God to do what they want to. So then they are the woman, as to we say, putting a hook in the husband's nose, and it looks like that they've got the Lord Jesus and they got a bridle on him, because no matter what they do, God just gives them more grace. And the Bible said, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. So he takes away the sins of the world for an allotted period of time as to a dispensation of grace, and the world just keeps on rocking and rolling and doing their thing, and God keeps on giving them grace until they... The Bible said they think that I am altogether such a one as they are, that I'm in agreement with their systems and their evils, but someday I shall meet them face to face, and it shall be as a bear that has been robbed of her cubs. So, we're made to realize that in this time of grace, we are to go to him to find out what he wants and to conform to him. Because this woman that is so ill-famed, that's doing all of these things, which is the world, after a while, the man's going to draw the cords. After a while, he's going to rain down fire and brimstone. After a while, he's going to bring judgment on her because she does not reverence him. And he's giving her all the goodies of the world. And she has taken full advantage of it in doing her own thing to the extent that she says, God is good and he wants me to have all these things and he wants me to have my way and I'm going to be contrary and whatever. Well, let me tell you, little lady, you watch. Because when you do your husband that way, usually the thing is that he's letting you do that way because he's got his eyes on another woman. And God is letting the world do that way because he's got his eyes on another woman. And that woman is his bride. And that woman is the one that honors him. And that woman is the one that makes love to him. And that woman is the one that wants to conform to him. And that woman is the one that's saying, whatever you want, just any way, it's all right. You just tell me whatever it is, I'll do it. Let's give him a hand. So then you better watch out, because if that man's letting you get by with those things, it's because he don't care anything for you. Because the man that loves his wife is like God. God said, I'm a jealous God. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one. I don't want you running around flirting with nobody else. I want to present you to God spotless. The Bible said that you're to be the same way, to present your wife to you spotless. So then the man is jealous. As a jealous God, God doesn't want you messing around with the world, the devil, or the things of the world. He wants you to be perfect in his sight. He said, go on to be perfect. So you go on to be perfect with your husband. You get everything out of your mind. You get every thought out of your mind. You cast down every thought till you don't think not one thought. Every thought as to your first birth of nature is cast out, and you brought it into subjection till it's meditating in the laws of God day and night. It's thinking on the Lord day and night. It's praying to God day and night. It's praying always that God may account you worthy to escape the things that's coming on the earth. All right, so when we look at it, we see our position in life. I am to use this body. A woman gives her body to her husband for reproduction of his image. She completely gives her body. She surrenders her rights, her way of life. See, to be one with him or to reproduce his image. I want my body to be completely surrendered to God. Paul said, travailing until Christ be formed within you. I want Christ formed within me as to the fullest. And I want to reproduce from that Christ images unto God by my words and by travailing till Christ be formed within you. And all over the world, I want to reproduce his image wherever I go. That it will be his image, and that they will glorify God and love God with all of their heart till everybody is his children. All are his children. Going into all the world, making disciples of all men, preaching the gospel to every creature. So then we see that there is a right way. And the right way is, as Paul said, the mystery concerning the church, as Christ is the head and the church is his body. So then we are committed to him, as I said at the beginning of this little sermonette, that I want to surrender my body to where I can say with Paul, it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. I want to surrender my body until my mind and spirit is a complete admiration to Christ Jesus, to where I do not admire anything in the world, though he give me a new car, though he give me a new home, though he give me land property, though he give me fame, popularity, whatever he might give me, I have no desire for it. I want to be to where my eyes are solely set upon him. My heart and my affection is upon him. My affection upon things in heaven. I don't want anything as to the affection upon my own body, my own appearance, my own doings, my own desire, as to money, as to prestige, as to position, as to any admiration of the world. Whereas the Bible said, lay up treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt, for wherever your treasures are, there shall your heart be also. So then I want to lay up treasures in heaven, and I want my body to be completely surrendered to where I can say with Paul, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, and I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So again we say, he that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down. That is to say, Satan will come in any time. He's like one without walls. So then we find that this is the way of the church. to be one with Him, to be perfect with Him, to love Him with all of our heart, to meditate in His thoughts, to think His thoughts, to do His deeds, to have His desire, to be His way, as to be His body, born in flesh, and to be one with His Spirit. So this is what the Lord is trying to tell us to do. Now, I want to say just a few more words here. The whole dispute is over the body. The entire dispute is over the body. It has been over the body. The Bible said, and when the death angel, or Satan, came for the body of Moses, here the great angel of God raised up and said, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan." And the body was not surrendered unto Lucifer. And the body was taken into glory and appears on the Mount of Transfiguration, there with Elijah and with Jesus. So then, your hope of glory as to this body changing from glory to glory or going into that world of glory is Christ within you, in that the Bible said He alone was made heir to the glory of God. That's the only body that ever really inherited the glory of God. It was perfect, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. The lamb that was offered up as a sacrifice, and it was the glorified body that raised from the dead, in that death could not hold it. Death had no power over it whatsoever. He resurrected from the dead and is alive today, even in His body. Though you don't see His body, yet He is alive in the body. Now let me say just a few things right here, and I'll try not to hold you long, but I feel like that we need to understand this. Here we are about the body. Now there is a dispute over the body. Why is there a dispute? Because usually through life, a man's dispute from here with another is about his wife. He doesn't want a man tampering with his wife. He doesn't want a man around his house when he's gone. He doesn't like for the woman to sit with the telephone all the time talking to a man, which is a bad situation down at my house. It rings so much from a different one. He don't like this thing, same way down at Brother Taylor's house. He doesn't like this thing that his wife's mind's always filled with another man, filled with another image, filled with another thought, that always there's some kind of woman around or some kind of man around, always talking about the degraded things of life or those things that are in secret, where the Bible said those things that are done in secret are not to be spoken, not one time by you as that which becometh saints. So he doesn't want her mind filled with that all the time. He doesn't want somebody coming around with their physique, either man or woman, as to the woman to the husband or the husband to the woman. They don't want somebody coming around always suggesting something, as the Bible said, that they talk with their eyes and they mince and talk with their feet, and that they take you with their prancing and with their motions of body and with their foolishness and the air of the devil or the anointing of the devil that is on them or their corrupt conversation. Women are bad about doing this and men are bad about doing this, and they want to get in front of each other to draw each other's attention to do this. See, it's not godly at all. They're corrupt, and the Bible speaks against this, where He says, "After that I've fed you to the full, every man neighs after his neighbor's wife like a horse, and said, will I not visit, saith the Lord? Will I not visit because of these things?" So then we find that the church is to be pure. It's to be godly. It's to be holy. God wants it to be set apart, to be perfect. Every thought brought into subjection. He doesn't want us to have anything to do with the world, anything to do with the devil. See, this is the body. The dispute with a man is usually over his wife, over the body, all down through the years. Men have killed other men to take their wives, to be able to marry that woman. Women have planned little things to where they have taken the lives of men that were in opposition to keep them from their desire as unto another man. As a matter of fact, the Bible records it as concerning John the Baptist, that a woman caused a king to behead John the Baptist in prison because she wanted to marry him, and she knew that was wrong, and he knew because that was his brother's wife, and John preached against it, so she just worked a little scheme and had John beheaded so that she could have what she wanted. People are cruel and people are wretched, and people do what they want to when they want to, and they don't care who it hurts as long as it satisfies the passions, satisfies the feeling, satisfies the yearning and the longing. A man will look at a woman, or a woman will look at a man, and she'll just get that feeling, if I could just spend my life with him, I know that I'm married, but if I could just spend my life with her, I just feel like I could eat her up, or I could eat him up, and if we could just sweep away like an eagle, get away somewhere, and for the rest of my life, I'd never want anything. Oh, I'm so heartbroken. And a little voice whispers from heaven, "You devil, you hypocrite. You whoremonger. See, it's nothing but lust." And she will say unto him, "Stolen waters are sweet, but he knoweth not that her guests are in the chambers of hell." So then, see, and all these things happen through life, and lust is in the world. The lust is in the world. Sin hath come because of lust, and lust is because the Bible said the lust of the eyes, Eve looked and lusted. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and all of these things passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, that is to say, this is a sinful and an adulterous generation, because it shows the corruption of the church. The church in this day is corrupt. Those that are leaders are corrupt. The members are corrupt. The preacher doesn't preach against corruption because he's enjoying corruption. And he doesn't want the audience to know that because they're supporting his corruption. If what Brother Pike is not saying, if this isn't true, and I preached this years ago and I said the same thing, if it's not true, then wait and you'll see it come to pass. Now I can look back and I say, if it's not true, why are these great men around us falling? Why is it coming out that they were filled with corruption? Why is it that it is exactly like we said? Because that's what God said it would be. All right, so then we've got a dispute over the body. Now let's say this. As to the body hath not as of yet been redeemed. And when I say been redeemed, I don't mean that the body has not been redeemed as to the price having been paid for it. It is the purchased possession. You have the spirit within you, which is called the earnestness of your inheritance. As we say, "Frank, I want to buy you a car, I'll give you $10 as earnest on it." Earnest money. So then God has given us that. And the purchased possession is your body, because he died to purchase your body, and your body was made in his image. It was made in the image of the Lord, and it lost that image and fell from that image. And God said, "Now it is a bastard image, and come the morning I will hate your image." So then we don't need to piffer, to powder, to paint, to jog, to build, to lift up this body, to magnify, and stand and look in the mirror as to how handsome we are, or what great person we're going to be, or how pretty we are, or always adorning the body with clothes and all the other things that adorn the body, or flipping our curls, or putting this little indenture, and all the things that we have to do, you know. It's all right as to whatever God has made you. But see, it's a bad situation to get your mind on the body, as some of you men go into the beauty parlor to get your hair curled, and women continually doing these things when the Bible said to have shamefacedness, to be modest, to dress in modest apparel, to be shamefacedness. Shamefaced, and I don't mean some hypocritical thing. Let me say this and clear it up. Some people have got a little thing going out that I've said that some people went on a trip with me, and I don't never want them to go anymore, or I'd rather they'd never go anymore. Somebody said, "Well, I know you, Brother Pike, you'd never say a thing like that." Well, to your surprise, I did say it. What it is, I didn't say that to hurt anybody. I didn't say that to be ugly to anybody, because we have wonderful people here. And the people that go around running their mouth telling everybody I did say it, I didn't say it for them to go around running their mouth either. The Bible said, move the tail bearer and the strife will cease. Sometimes there's people that just dig out things like a dog getting an old bone to go take it. And there's an old saying that if the dog brings you a bone, you can feel sure that he's going to pick up one over at your house and take it somewhere else. All right, so then I said that to say this. I am not against people going with us. I'm not against people being with us. But I don't like hypocrisy. And sometimes a woman or a man will go with us, and they're so evasive around the women, they're so evasive around the man. We can come meeting like this, and oh my God, here they come. You know, and they turn their head, and I go by and I think, you hypocrite, I just picked up your spirit, and you've been lusting after that man around the corner right yonder. And here you come past the pastor, you know, and you've just got to be so pious. See, to me, I despise that kind of thing. I hate that kind of thing. I don't like a whore. I don't like a whoremonger. I don't like a harlot. But I'd rather meet a harlot. I've got more respect for a harlot. Even Jesus had more respect for a harlot. The woman he caught in this act of adultery, right in the act, he just forgave her and condemned the hypocrites that stood around her. Because they were doing the things and covering it up, it was very obvious the woman was just what she is. You know, she didn't try to hide it. But these is more holy than thou and so pious. And I don't like a woman either. Every time she meets the preacher, every time she meets a man, she's loose. Her tongue is tied in the middle, as the old saying goes, and loose on both ends. She's just got to talk. She's got a conversation. She's got business. You know, I like sober, godly people that are just what they are. And if I happen to pass by and I say, good morning. You know, I don't expect your wife to stop and say, well, good morning, preacher. How are you doing? There's some things we need to talk to you about. And I don't expect my wife, when you say good morning to her, to stop and say, hey, wait a minute. I'd like to talk to you about something. I don't expect that either. See, I expect you to be sober, godly people, and I want to be sober and godly, and I want to look at you with clean, holy thoughts, and I want you to look at me that way. You know, and I don't like this evasive thing. When you go on a trip with me like that, you just aggravate me. That devil, it's hiding. It's so tormenting and aggravating to me that I can't hardly wait till we get back. And I made the statement, I don't want people with me like that. So, there you are. Let's give him a hand. That's the way I feel. That's the way I feel. You know, when Sister Linda comes into my house, she don't go behind the door here and try to hide over here, you know, like something silly, and say, he's coming down the hall, around this way. She don't do that. And my wife, she don't do that. You know, she don't do that. I tell you, there's some people that comes around, I'd rather my wife would go around the house than to pass them. To be honest with you, I'm honest. And Sister Linda would be a better woman if she'd went around the house to pass them. But as long as a man's got any decency about him, you know, some men can come around some women, but time they get anywhere near you, you pick up a devil about them, a lust devil. You know, they're just overcome by things like that. Because all they ever do is eat and drink and lie and talk and cheat and swindle and manipulate here and gossip and backbite. They don't pray. They don't study the Bible. They don't fast. Like my Gracie was saying today, we was talking about the choir. I said, Gracie, we're going to have a choir. I said, I've tried to get together a choir and we couldn't. So our purpose when we made this trip, we come back, I was going to get them together and see what we could get and set something in motion. And I was going to make my people evangelistic because they've been tutored now for a number of years. And I was going to get them to start into a series of fasting with a regularity. All right, so I'll come back. We started setting some things in motion. I said, now, if at any time this thing gets out of bounds, I want it dissolved. I don't want no part of it. I'm going to pray that God will dissolve it. Not too long ago, we got together a little choir. I thought it was real good. And as the girls getting together, they go sing at the homes and whatever, which I think is wonderful. They've had healings. They've had blessings. We've published articles in the magazine on it to people around the different parts of the world. See, and I think that it's absolutely wonderful. But they got to going over to singing at the mall, and the first news you know, there was a brother he took special liberty, and another brother he took special liberty, and they was the choir leader, and they was the man among the women, you know, and you men staff among these women. We have special privilege, and God knows that we're like this. And Brother Pike said, you're lying. Brother Pike never did say it. Brother Brother Pike never did change it. Brother Pike had nothing to do with it. The men have no special privileges among the women, and the women, there's no women that have any special privileges among the men. It doesn't matter whether it's Brother Pike, it's Brother Taylor, whether it's anybody else. It doesn't make any difference. You got no special privileges to stand around and gossip, backbite, talk with them, or go on about things. There's times of instructions when people are called together, just like right now, when I've got you all together as men and women, and I'm having a conversation with you, and I'm trying to talk with you, and I'm trying to do the thing that's necessary so that we can have a way of life. There's no need of us being a bunch of fools. As to say, well, bless God, I can't go within 10 miles of a woman. You know, there's some people, even at Bethlehem, that'll sit down and they're just about half pine. Pardon me, people, for acting like this. Forgive me if it doesn't sound right, because this is the way it is. And they'll pine their life away. There's just nothing inspirational at Bethlehem. I'm just not inspired and all. Say, well, there's nothing to do. I said, well, my lands, we've got all kind of things to do. All you've got to do is, well, no. I say, no, you don't know, because there ain't two women there and ain't a lust devil there. And your mind is on lust. And if a woman comes along to spark up everything, you just think it's a great project and you want to get in the middle of it. And there's some women the same way. If you take the men out of it, it doesn't have any sparkle to it whatsoever. And they just pine their lives away. All right. Your wife is supposed to be your inspiration, and your husband's supposed to be your inspiration, but I know you didn't fall in love with him. Like a man said not too long ago, he just didn't love his wife anymore, so when they caught him, he was with another man's wife. That's why he didn't love his wife anymore. See, let me tell you something, folks. We don't need to be foolish. We are together. We are together. Somebody said, well, bless God, ain't nobody going to look at my wife. Well, you better move her out of the church, because I'm looking right at her all the time. Ain't nobody going to look at my husband. Well, you're coming in all the time. You're looking at him all the time. My wife ain't going to look at no man. Well, she's looking at me all the time. See, let's don't be foolish. Let's realize that we are together. We're going to pass. We're going to see each other. We're in the midst of each other. But did you know that I can walk right past something and it might be an obscene signboard and my spirit, my mind will never look at it. It'll never record it because I don't want to record it. The Bible said we have purer eyes than to look on iniquity. See, like this lying bunch of devils around Monroe. One said something the other day that's called the little girl's parents. Not going to let her come out here. Lying devils. If you'll pardon my expression, and sometimes you think I get indignant and out of sorts, and I guess I do. And Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for the word of God. The bunch of lying devils. Up there, you know, and they say all kinds of things about us out here when we're the ones that try to be decent, and they're the ones that get out and wallow in the mire and act like a bunch of hogs and dogs. I'm telling you the truth, folks. That's the way it is. If I was looking for a hog pen, I'd teach all of my women not to wear long dresses. Why would I teach them to wear long dresses? I want them to be decent in my appearance, in my presence. I teach my men not to go around like they've been melted and poured down in their clothes, to where they can be decent. And some of these that have violated my wishes, that have went around in front of my lady folks anyway and done that, thinking they were so handsome and whatever, they wound up as whoremongers. See, because it was in there to start with. It was a devil to start with. Oh, they never done that. When they start splitting their skirts on the side and having to, men having to open their shirts down a little bit, you know, and messing around the way they do, it's because they are possessed of devils. Folks, you might as well say amen, because that's the way it is. That's the way I preach it. That's the way it is. I'm not going to take it back. That's the way it is. Don't rise up against the preacher, or you're part of him. When you rise up against your thinking and start reasoning against the preacher, it's because you also are taken with the devil. If you bid a man Godspeed or in agreement with him, two can't agree lest they walk together, lest they be agreed. So then, I said all that to say this. We are God's bride. We are Christ's bride. We're the cream of the crop, as Brother Branham said one time. We're the holy ones. We're the godly ones. You know, you can be a good person and still... That is, be a good person and not be a holy person. Did you know that? You can be a righteous person and still not be a holy person. Did you know that? You may be righteous, and if you are righteous, then God blesses you, and God wants you to be that way, and God is for you. But folks, there's something beyond righteousness. The Bible speaks of holy people, and the Bible said, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And the Bible said, if the time came that God was to give reward to his holy apostles and his holy prophets. And he tells us to add holiness to our life and add godliness to our life and be therefore holy, even as I'm holy. We've got a lot of doing. We've got to move along. We've got to move on to perfection. Well, anyway, I was going to get to something else. Maybe I can say a word or two here. Maybe I can't. I don't know. So this thing is about the body. I don't have time now to go into it. But we are already holy on the inside. We are already godly on the inside. We are already pure on the inside. We are already what God wants us to be, as complete in Him on the inside. But God is wanting us to take this body and subject it and make it holy and make it perfect. It's not going to profit you anything as to your crown, as to your righteousness, as to eternal life, because it's all by the works and merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to merit anything as unto salvation. Because a baby is life, he is a human being as a baby. Before he ever flexes his muscles or can lift weight or chop cotton or do anything else, he's already a perfect species of a human being if he's not afflicted in any way. See, so his works has nothing to do with making him a human being or giving him life. But folks, his development, his understanding, applying himself, trying to learn rightly, dividing and doing the things that he does through life, greatly contributes to his success as to the place that he's going to obtain unto as the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, or as a full reward, or as to getting into a place to where he's able to help others or control others or to be a light unto others or to be some kind of leader in the world that might be able to add to society. So then it is of great necessity that we go on. You get the spirit from the time you get the spiritual little baby. He is there to take you on into the righteousness of God and all of the good things of God, all of the glories of God. It's an exciting experience from the time he comes. Not just speaking in tongues and just kicking your feet in the cradle, because that's what that is. Stammering lips and whatever. You're just a little toddling baby. You know, you got the Spirit. You say, I'm ready for heaven. That's true. But the thing is, don't you want to do something for God? Don't you want to bring forth some fruits to perfection? You that are babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. You that want to be strong, exercise your senses to the discerning of good and evil. The meat belongs to the strong. So then let us go on to God. Let us become a son that can do something for God. Let us become a person that can stand up for God. I'm speaking of the body to save yourself from this untoward generation. Now, so then, I'm telling you the truth. That's the way it is, folks. So, when it comes to these things, as to the dispute over the body, Satan is right there in spite of all that Moses had done in his lifetime. The devil was still there to claim that body. He still was there to claim that body. But see, the Lord rebuked him, and death had no power over it. So then, the body has not yet been changed. It has been redeemed. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign because I have been redeemed. So I am redeemed. The purchased possession, it's already been purchased. It is the possession that was purchased. The earnestness toward that is that which we receive in the Spirit. But folks, we've got to realize this. The body has not yet been changed. But I am not to know you after the body. Brother Branham after the body. Those people are an error that knows him after the body. They're all lined up at the grave as I saw in the vision. We're to know them after the Spirit. Christ not as the body of sin or made sin, but as the resurrected Christ, as to the eternal God, as to that that lives on the inside of us. See, I'm not to know you after the flesh. This thing is over. It's done. We're not waiting that Brother Branham finished it, Brother Pike to finish it. We're not waiting that Brother Roberts should finish it. We're not waiting that anybody should finish it. When you hear all these things about Brother Pike or Brother Roberts or Brother Branham, it's a bunch of foolishness. Jesus said at Calvary, it is finished. That was the only man that could finish it.
The Bible said he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He started it. He finished it. It's finished. There is no such thing as any man finishing it. No man can finish it. Jesus finished it. I am only here as a minister to help your faith, to encourage you, to bring out the mysteries of God in that God reveals to me what he done and reveals to me what I am in Christ and what you are in Christ. He reveals to me what he's already done for you. This was given to you in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at Calvary with the rent veil and preached down through the church ages in measure or proportionally preached down to the dimensional thing as to seven church age messengers to compound itself as to a sevenfold light in the end time to change your body to where you can be completely perfect as the beautiful bride of Christ. Brother Pike had nothing to do with it. Brother Branham had nothing to do with it. We are helpers of your faith, and if anybody wants to dispute that, I'll be available after service. So, it is a positive fact that people that tell you any other thing is a liar. Paul said, we are here to perfect your faith. The man with the great revelation, Paul the apostle, the overseer to the Gentile church. I am here for the perfecting of your faith. That is, I must reveal to you the things that are here, that are those things that Jesus wrought for you, or God in Christ before the world ever was, and you are complete in him. We do not have to wait till tomorrow. Let me tell you something, folks. We're saying we've got to wait, Brother Pike, until tomorrow, and we've got to get better, and we've got to fast a little and wait a little longer, Jesus, because we've got to get in. There is no such thing to that. I tell you again, there is no such thing to that. It is a positive fact that things are getting worse. I've made the statement to you a lot of times. I said if we're waiting for the perfection of the church, and the perfection of church is coming across according to the Pentecostal way of life, as to tell people these things, then we are going backwards. We're not going forward at all. And I heard yesterday a survey that come out, whereas just a few years ago the church was twofold more than it is now as to being right, as to going on with God, as to serving God, as to confessing Christ, and as to coming together in the things of God. It has dropped down about halfway in the last few years. So it's going backwards. See, there is nothing to it. When people tell you those things about getting perfect and all those kinds, there's nothing to it. About finishes and great prophets and great things, there's nothing to it. It's just a lot of garbage. I'm telling you that Jesus did it. He did it all. He didn't leave nothing undone. Brother Pike can't add to it. No man that ever come after him or before ever added anything to it. He done it all by himself. He has done it. He's laid it down. And the only thing that any man before Calvary ever done or any man after Calvary has ever done is to reveal to you the glories and righteousness of God. And there has never lived a Pentecostal believer nor a preacher or anybody else that has ever done anything, contributed anything, or made anything one iota better or ever will. It's all just exactly the way he made it before the world ever was and revealed it at Calvary and has preached it to you that you might that you might believe it and comprehend it, that you might by faith change into this. So then, let's forget about this thing of getting better, because we're all getting worse to that extent. Lest by faith accept what Jesus has done for us, in that he hath made perfect forever them that are sanctified, sanctify them once and for all. What is it? With who? Okay, bring the baby right on down. Let's stand up together and believe God. Now this is just what I'm talking about. We don't need to think we're not good and can't get it. We are perfect in his sight. We're to believe in God for this. Let's believe right now. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, your lovely Son, by your perfection, by your goodness and your glory, Father, touch this child right now. Heal this child right now. Let the glory of God go out to this child right now to glorify the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant it, Father, grant it in the name of the Son of God. Let's give God a hand and let's believe. God said it, we believe it. It's going to be just exactly that way. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and praise God. Father, we thank you for your blessings.
for your glory, for your goodness, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How many of you understand what I'm saying tonight? It's a little bit warm in here. Let the little one be working, get a little bit of air. Give it some water. You are perfect in the sight of the Lord. You are to be about your Father's business. You ought to take this glory and this perfection and this love of God to all of the world, to pull them out of darkness and to pull them out of the fire and to bring them to the wonderful rejoicing in God, to tell about the glory of God, how that Jesus did it all, how that God has done it all, that nobody can add to it, nobody can take away from it, that it was finished at Calvary. And that you are to have it preached to you. You are to have those things that are demonstrated before you to encourage your faith to eternal life and to the things of God. This is what it's all about. It's so that we can forget about it. I am not to look at you and you're not to look at me as somebody shortcoming in the things of God. Because if I look at Brother Taylor, to know Brother Taylor and the shortcomings of Brother Taylor, I am knowing him after the flesh. And it does not mean that he is out of balance or doesn't have the goods. It means I don't. It means I'm blind to the spiritual world. And I'm looking after these natural things. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then what we are doing is going on to the perfect things of God, that we might tell the world that we don't get frustrated of all these things. Because your body has never been changed, it has nothing to do with it. You're not to know anybody after the flesh, not even the Lord Jesus. We have known him after the flesh, but from henceforth and forever we know him no more after the flesh, but as the resurrected Christ, as the eternal God. And we're to be about our Father's business, as trusting in his righteousness, knowing that we are complete in him. And the only thing that we are to consider about the body is that the body cannot be changed until the Jews come in. When the Jews come in, then the law comes in as effective. And when it comes in, then your body is changed, because your body cannot be born again. There's no way to make a body to be born again. It's been born one time and it's of this world. It'll never be born again. What God has done, he has to kill the body to get rid of it and to bring forth another image. Jesus went up in one image. He come up in a new image, in a new form. So then that means that we are in a new form. We're resurrected from the dead. Dead to the world. Dead to sin. Dead to the law by the body of Jesus Christ. So this body, if it cannot be born again, then that means that the only born again thing is that which is on the inside. Your spiritual being is born again. See, it's born again. But your body is waiting to wit the redemption. That is to come into a recognition that it has been redeemed as the purchased possession. And your body is waiting to be changed, because it cannot be born again. It must be changed. That is that Thessalonians change. When the Lord Jesus comes back as the head to the body, then your body will be changed. Because his body is perfect and you're the membership of his body. And when the perfect head appears, the perfect wife will be there. The perfect members will be there. As long as the head isn't there, then the perfect members can't be there. When the perfect head appears, you'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Because your body has to be adopted into the family. It cannot be born into the family. It must be adopted into the family. It is an alien by birth. And if I adopt a child, I have to do it through the law. So the Bible said we wait for the adoption to wit the redemption as to the bar mitzvah of God, whereas then we are made a ruler over the inheritance of God. For until then we are like children, we differ nothing from a child, though we be heir to all of the glory. See, but when this Jew comes in, as the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling the world, what will the receiving of the Jew be but life from the dead? When this Jew comes in, it'll indicate the redemption of the body, the resurrection of the dead.
Death will have no more hold on it. You'll be no more dead in a grave out here buried as to your body. But all of a sudden you'll be appearing there as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Your body changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. You don't have to do anything to change it. It will automatically change because it will be the adoption into the family of God. He will adopt this body into the family of God. And when you are adopted in by the law, you are legally that man's child. Brother Taylor was adopted into the family. Isn't that right, Frank? He was adopted into a family. And he come to love his father and his mother so greatly because he was a little baby when they got him. He doesn't know anything about previous parents. Even if they came around, there would be no feeling for them. Because his dad, the one that adopted him, he was the one that worked for him. He was the one that fed him. The mother that took him was the one that cuddled him and loved him. That was his mother. How do you understand that? Somebody run out here and ruin the life of somebody's to a bastard child, that ain't no father. And the mother that done it in a frolic ain't no mother. But if a person over here that's concerned about humanity can get them, that's a real father and a mother. So then, you have to be adopted. The body has to be adopted to with the redemption. So don't worry about the flesh. It profiteth nothing. Don't wait for the flesh to get right. You just remember that you're perfect in God, and because you have a perfect nature, you're going to give forth perfect fruits. And your body is going to change continually. You change just from one glory to another glory. It's going to continually change until after a while it's going to be in the glorious image of the Son of God. So don't worry about that. That'll take care of itself. The thing you do is realize you're perfect in God's sight. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I haven't been in this long enough. I haven't done the thing someone else done. What has that got to do with a baby? A baby is a perfect human being. It is a perfect human being. It don't have to do anything to get to be a human being or to belong to that family. It belongs to that family just as much as the 19-year-old son or the 35-year-old daughter. See? What does it have to do? We are God's child. It's called up to the throne at birth. How could it be called up to the throne if it wasn't perfected? For the Bible said God is perfected forever. You love the Lord? Do you feel perfect all over by Him? Or do you feel all under condemnation here and your faith cast down because you feel like you didn't fast enough, you didn't pray enough, you didn't do enough? Somebody said, well, what is this that causes me to feel like that, Brother Pike? That's why I tell you to fast. That's why I tell you to pray. That's why I tell you to do these things. Somebody would say, because that makes us perfect then, Brother Pike. No, it doesn't have anything to do with it. It just makes you confident that His perfection is in your life. That's all it does. Faith without works is dead. It just arouses your confidence in His perfect work, which is already a finished thing within you. If your heart condemn you, God is greater than your heart and knoweth all things that you are His child. You know, if somebody took a little child off, perverted his mind, and the little child didn't believe anymore that was his daddy, the daddy knows that that's still his child. See, so then, what is the problem? John said if we do the things that please Him, then we have the confidence toward Him. That when we ask, He heareth us. That is, our hearts don't condemn us. So then, that's why the Bible said, condemn not thyself over the things which thou allowest. When you stumble and stagger, don't go condemning yourself and thinking, well, I'm not a child of God. God don't love me. But don't, see, remember this. When a devil hops up out there and says, well, bless God, I ain't condemning myself. I'm going to take me a little drink, watch a little television. Now I'm going to do this and that. I ain't condemning myself over them things which I allow. He doesn't have to condemn himself. He's a devil. He's condemned already. If he was a child of God, he wouldn't go after that. He wouldn't enjoy that. He wouldn't want that. But you know, I say again, if you're walking along and you stumble and fall into a mud hole, that don't mean you're a pig. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, just get up and wash it off and go right on, believing you're a human being, that you're not going to do that again. Be a little more cautious. I hope you understand what I'm saying, folks. The body profiteth nothing. This is a perfect salvation. This is a perfect religion. This is a finished product. And the reason that God uses people that fast and pray and doesn't use the others, it's not because they're not Christians. That is, when I say that, I mean as to being extensive in their sacrifice. See, it is not because they're not Christians. Some of them might just be babes. But it is because, like Jesus went into the wilderness, returned in the power of the Spirit. He already had the Spirit. He is using them because They are subjecting the body, encouraging the confidence that they may have the faith that will stop the devil or the shield that God can work through to help people, whereas the others don't. God would move through them just as quick as he would anybody else. He's no respecter person. He doesn't love Elijah any more than he did Abraham, or Abraham any more than he did Paul, or Paul any more than he did Peter. God is no respecter person. He doesn't love Brother Taylor more than me, or me more than you, or you more than somebody else. He'd move in you just as quick. But the only thing, he can't move in you, because you live under such condemnation, because you do nothing to perfect your faith, to have the confidence, to have the shield of faith there, or to have a canal or a channel through which the Holy Spirit can flow. You're all stopped up with your condemnation and your reasoning and your wilderness wandering, all because of bickering and backbiting and all these things. Paul said, strife among you, envy among you. He said, are you not yet babes when you do these things? Are you not yet children? All right, so you understand what I'm saying. Let's get out of that. Let's go out there and remember we're perfect in His sight, and let's do everything that we can for God. Like this choir we got, they don't need to go whoring around after one another, after the flesh. They're supposed to be walking in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're supposed to meditate in His law day and night. Like my Grace has said today, she's been fasting for a couple of days or something. I don't know how long. My children have been trying to fast and pray. David Paul just come off about a 5-day fast. See, Grace has said it's for sure that if you don't eat, you're not going to think like that. Said if you don't eat, said you'll think soberly. So then we've set a standard that they should fast at least maybe once a week or a day out of a week or something. Or miss some meals for God to keep their flesh under subjection. Paul said, I keep my body under subjection, lest after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. So then every sin is without the body, except the sin of fornication. And he that sinneth the sin of fornication, he sinneth against his own body. And that does not mean that every sin is without the body, except the sin of fornication, which is of the body. For the sin of fornication is still without the body. But when you sin the sin of fornication as man with woman, it is against your own body, because woman is taken from man. And to sin against flesh is to sin against your own body, because you're all one, and that is as your mother Eve, the mother of all living. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's sing a little chorus together. So then, Brother Pike loves you tonight with all purity, and I'm here to encourage your faith in God, and I'm here to tell you that I don't mean this contrary to some people that say you've got to go to the prophet to get the word of God. I've been talking to the brethren about this. You do not have to come to Brother Pike. You do not have to go to Brother Branham. You do not have to go. Of course, Brother Branham's dead now. You couldn't anyway. But you don't have to go to Brother Roberts. The Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him go to God. What we're preaching is, we're preaching for the purpose of turning you to God and your confidence to God and your faith to God, like Brother Branham. He preached to turn your faith to God, because now Brother Branham's gone, you can go to him. See, then what do you do? So then we are preaching that your faith be turned to God, who is the Word, the everlasting, eternal Word. Not me speaking, but God speaking. The Word of God. Write it. Put it in a book. Send it to the churches. See that your faith might be in God. So you don't have to go to anybody. And it's a lot of time you're rot when they tell you that you do. It is a true fact that there is a major stream of life as to every generation that is open as a well to the people. It is something that God does. And He does it individually. He doesn't have a dozen. He doesn't do it collectively speaking. He does it as a single individual to turn everybody toward centralized motivation to bring them to Christ Jesus, because Christ is but one. So God does it. He narrows it down. As to ranks, as in the army, it's the same way. So your natural shows your spiritual. So it is that way. So there is not going to be a collective thing as to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is but one. He gave it to Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus reveals it as to an age thing and as to the membership of that which is, collectively speaking, the tree of that family. I say this again. All of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. And when we see a tree, a great tree, that tree has many roots, which means the life of that tree, that it is a tree as to composition and constitution by the contribution of many little roots. And those roots encircle the tree going out, and they strengthen the tree. When the wind blows this way, these roots hold. When the wind blows it this way, these roots hold, or southeast, north, and west. See, and that is the strength of it. And these little roots go out into the surface water and pick up elements to bring them in. But there is a centralized point of that tree, which is a tap root that exhales all of those roots, and it goes down, down, deep, where the other roots cannot go, and it goes down deep into the water tables. And it is the life of that tree. It picks up the water, has to turn it into sap by the contribution of the little roots that is around it, that drops this in to the stream of water as it goes into the trunk of the tree, coming up from the roots. That's why the Bible said if God had not left us a root, we would be likened to Sodom and Gomorrah. So there is a major source, and that comes up as to that tree. So then it's not collectively speaking as to the life of that tree. But yet it is collectively speaking, to the extent that the Bible said Jesus resurrected from the dead, divided severally unto everyone as he will. He gives it as to the roots. Many roots contribute as to the life and success and the nourishment and the tasty fruits of the deliciousness of that tree. So then we are a tree for God. We love the Lord. If you've got a problem, you go to the Lord and ask him, and he'll help you with it. And then if you can't seem to get through, that's what your pastor is for. I'm here to help you and encourage your faith. I'm not a lord over God's heritage. I'm only an example to the flock, and I admit I'm a poor example, but I'm an example unto the flock, and I'm here to help you to understand thoroughly that you might not be carried about by every wind of doctrine, so that people can walk over you and trample over you and mistreat you and give you some perverted means of something to cause you to be in bondage to something that's just a bunch of fools. So then take your liberty in God. God has called you unto liberty. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage as to the beggarly elements of this world. Take your liberty. Take your sovereignty. Let your preacher work with you. Reverence and respect him, and let him reverence and respect you, and submit yourself to him, and submit yourself one to another, and especially unto him as he that watcheth for your soul. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I hope you understand the things that we're saying. If not, then they are on tape to where you can have these things and enjoy these things by listening to them over and over until you do know. There's some things that I need to talk to you about. Some of them is the coming of Elijah. And some things that we need to talk to you about, and we're going to talk to you about as soon as the atmosphere's right. And we have the time, we're going to talk to you about it, because a lot of difference, a lot of disputes, all kind of things are coming up now, folks. And you got to know what's right. And I tell you in the name of the Lord, it doesn't matter if it's me, if it's another preacher, whoever it might be, the Word of God is right. It's been proven. It's in there. It's right. It's been vindicated down through the years as a source that is eternal. And the same unto every generation without alteration, in that he said, what I say to one, I say to all. And you stay with the Word of God no matter what happens, no matter who tells you what, whether it's Brother Pike or whether it's 10,000 other preachers. If the Word of God don't say it, then he's wrong. If the Word of God don't say it and I say it, then I'm wrong. Because the Word of God is God and it is right. It has been proven. And you've got to stay with the Word of God. All right, the Bible says it's a good thing that the heart be established, and that in the present day truth, that you be not blown about by every wind of doctrine. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul, for my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over
my soul. Sing it with me. For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus we're safe evermore. Sweet are each day, he grows sweeter each day, my Jesus, sweeter each day. He grows sweeter each day, he grows sweeter each day. Jesus grows sweeter. Can you sing that with me? If you'd like to come to the altar, you might. He grows sweeter each day, oh, sweeter each day. Jesus grows sweeter each day. All through the garden I can hear my Savior say, to you I'm sweeter, I'm sweeter. Sing it again with me. Each day, Jesus grows sweeter each day, he grows sweeter each day. My Savior grows sweeter each day. And all through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter. Can you sing it again with me? If you really believe that, sing it with me. He grows sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter, prolong life's way. And all through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter. Sing it again. It's sweeter each day, growing sweeter every day. This love grows sweeter, prolong life's way. And all through the garden I can hear Jesus say, this love grows sweeter each day. I found a new place in God's heavenlies, a place of peace, a place of rest. I found a new place in God's heavenlies. It's in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Sing it again. We found a new place in God's heaven lives. It's a place of peace. It's a place of rest. We found a new place in God's heaven lives. It's in Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Let's sing this little chorus.
He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there.
Can you sing it with me?
He was there. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time.
One more time.
Jesus was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently.
Can you sing it one more time with me?
He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time.
Just one more time.
Jesus was there.
Oh, can you lift your hands up? Hallelujah.
He was there. Oh,
hallelujah.
Waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time.
Lift your hands up and close your eyes. Jesus was there all the time. While you got your eyes closed and your hands lifted up, we're going to sing that song, Time Shall Be No More. I really believe time is gone, that we're eternal. I said this to our brother Lamar the other day, a staunch follower of Brother Branham. I said, the flesh profiteth nothing. The body is now dead and gone. Time is over. For what power doth the law have over a man that is dead? The law hath power over the woman that's married to her husband so long as he liveth. But if he be dead, then she's free from the law of her husband to be married to another. What power does time have over someone who is dead? To reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and alive unto God by the resurrection of Christ. What power then doth time have over you?
you are dead to time. For the Bible said there is a time to die. For you there is not a time to die. Lazarus went to sleep. Paul said, I show you a mystery. Just press on. Pilgrims, just press on. And we won't even have to worry about getting sleepy anymore. Hallelujah. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Just sing it again with me. If you believe it, sing it with me. For time, my friend, no more, no more. And time, my friend, is no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time is no more. Sing it again. For time's no more, no more, no more, and time, my friend, is no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time. Sing it one more time with me. For time, my friend, is no more. It's no more, and time's no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time. Let's sing it again, carry on. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Can you sing it just one more time with me? For time for me is no more, no more, and time for me is no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time for me is no more. And time, mankind, be no more. And time shall be no more. Eternity is here. I'm up from the dead, and time for me is no more. No more, no more, no more, no more, and death for me is no more. For I am alive, and I dwell in the sky, and time for me is no more. For time for me is no more.
no more, and time for me is no more. I heard the trumpet as it did sound. I came out of the ground, and time, we're not of the dust anymore. Not of anymore. And time, been buried in the watery grave, ascended up to heaven. At death, the spirit went back to God who gave it. We're not in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world anymore. The last trump shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise. And the Bible teaches the kingdoms of this world have thus become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. For time, my friend, is no more, no more, and time, my friend, is no more. Can't you sing it with me? For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land and time. One more time and we'll close. For time shall be, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Let's close our eyes, lift our hands up to heaven. I preach to you this way, that God is coming back after a bride that's been made perfect. And the perfection is that when the ministry has revealed as to the finishing of the mysteries to them that dwell in the secret places of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, that when it has been preached to them, that then shall the end come, because they are then perfect. Because their perfection is by faith. We wish this even the perfecting of your faith. And when we preach this, then you hear, you understand, you believe, and then are you perfect. Just a little article today where they say that there now has been enough Bibles sent into all the world, that there is now enough Bibles, that there is a passage of Scripture for everyone in the entire world. So the gospel is going, and many Bibles, millions upon millions of Bibles, have been sent, and the gospel has been published. And the Bible said when the gospel has been published throughout the world for a witness, then shall the end come. Not everyone is going to come to the gospel. Not everyone is going to believe the gospel. But the gospel must first go into all the world. And the Bible said, hath not our words gone unto the ends of the earth, but who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? So then, beloved friend, the gospel, as it was said concerning the Jews, not being mixed with faith, it did not profit them that heard it. But the word as to faith will bring you salvation and eternal life, and it will heal your body and make you strong and mighty in the wonderful things as to the heritage of God. So then, while you stand here, I want you to consider yourself as being perfect in His sight. Stop those things as to unbelief, because your perfection is by faith, and we are here to perfect your faith in Him. That does not mean that you are not to go on to perfection as to perfect your body. The Bible said to go on unto perfection. But it does mean your perfection as unto salvation has nothing to do with your efforts of body. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So then let this inner perfection within you be made manifest in your mortal genes by bringing your body under subjection, that you may have the full flow of the Spirit of God in a full freedom, as without condemnation, as to a full assurance, as to a more sure word of prophecy, as to a confidence toward God, that this faith might be mighty in your life, that you can ask anything in the name of Jesus Christ,
and He will give it unto you. You do this, and God will make you mighty men and women in God. And when you stumble and stagger, you saints of God, don't put yourself down. Don't put yourself under condemnation. Don't feel bad. Raise up and go on and love Jesus and do the things He's commanded you to do. But at the same time, don't be foolish and turn to practice iniquity. You're not going to do that. I'm persuaded better things of you, Paul said, because you have His Spirit inside of you. The love of God constrains you. You won't be able to do that as the elect of God. And in the event that some of you that hear my voice do that, it is the proof that you're not elect. And when you turn around to do that, to desire the things of the world or to go back to the things of the world, you don't have to worry about salvation anyway, because you don't have it and you're not one of the elect. Because the elect lady will keep herself spotless, and if there is one thought as to a shatter, a point of turning, as anything that is introduced to her mind as Satan seeks to trample down the mind of humanity, she will cast it off. She will resist the devil. She will not give place to him. No, not for 1 minute. She'll turn away from the evils and the corruptions, and she'll be holy and godly and pure in the sight of her Maker. So then, don't worry, for nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He hath perfected you forever. There is not one thing that can take you away from the love of God. If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. My brother right over here, don't worry about jealousy, and don't worry about Brother Pike looking in the direction of the ladies too much. You do that just about every time we come here. Just consider the corruption that you're in, and that's why you're in adultery right now. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, so I know how long to look at them, and I know how long to look at you, and don't you worry about it. You let the Lord take care of that, okay? You do that with a regularity. That just tore you up, didn't it? Because you thought nobody knowed your heart, and you do that out of jealousy. That's an evil, jealous thing in your life, and you are an adulterer already. So get away from it and leave those things alone. He doesn't like it. All of the spirits seem to be real nice, but his, he doesn't like it, because he knows that's what it is. Just thank God if He's had mercy on you as to your adulterous way of life. See, just because you think negative and with corruption, it doesn't mean that I think that way or that you're to judge somebody else like that. And that's also for the brother over to my extreme left that just picked up a little something too. Brother, you know the adulterous life as to your thinking and the things that you do. So don't you go being confederate with him as to think that God don't know your thoughts either. You're in bad shape. And as far as I know, unless something happens in your life, you won't even make it into the kingdom of God the way you're going with all your efforts. You're in worse shape than the other brother. You're stronger spirited even toward the wrong. May God have mercy on your soul. And as to the two, that's all I find. Two can't be agreed lest they have the same problem. And two can't walk together lest they be agreed. Both of you don't like it, but we're going to give God a hand on you. All right. Let's lift our hands up. Let's close our eyes. I want to say this just so that it'll help everybody. The one that's over to my right has the same problem also. As to watching me. You watch me real close, but you know why you do it? Because your conscience is not clear and your nature is not straight with God. And that's why you have all the problems you have. And if you'd get Brother Pike out of your mind as to always judging him and watching him and pay attention to what you're doing in your life, everything would be well with you too. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right. Let's just close our eyes, lift our hands up to God. That's right, brother. You be glad. As it passes through your mind, you be glad also. Because as you think that you have also had great problems, but you're trying sincerely tonight to accept the fact that he's delivered you from it, that you really want to be honest with him, and that you have also went your way to tell others that's involved with you in your life that it's going to be that way, that you mean to do it. You mean to do it. And as far as I can tell of anything, it's very clear in your spirit you are doing it. So let's give the Lord another one. Hallelujah. He knows you. He knows me.
And Jesus said, why does thoughts arise within your heart? See, if the Lord knows about us, like the other night when we was calling out some people and we had people standing up here, and the Lord spoke to me about a brother standing right back over yonder. And I called him out. I called him out not just so he could come up here, but I called him out because God spoke to me and said that he was standing back there praying for me to call him out, that he had to have help. He'd gone about as far as he could go. And after service, when we went out, somebody called me. We went down toward the house, and they said, did you know that this brother had just come back from down the fellowship room in there, and he had come up, and that he had just made the statement that he had to have help, he had to have something from God, and that he was standing there praying that you would call him out. See, let's give the Lord another hand. The Lord knows your heart. He knows my heart. And when you really talk to God with sincerity, then the Lord will do something for you, because he wants to do something for you. It is his desire. That's right, brother. Don't doubt that. Satan swept across you then to try to make you run back to something as to, well, this is not real, but I know where it is real. See, but it is real, or it wouldn't have known what you was about to think when you brushed it off. Let's give him another hand. All right. So God is good. God is good. Let's just pray together. As we lift our hands, folks, let's just pray together. I love you. I love you. The brother that did that's very sincere. As a matter of fact, he's so sincere, he's just liable to bust right out and tell you about the whole thing. All right, while you've got your hands lifted up, and while we're standing here praying together, I want you to pray for Brother Pike. I want you to ask God to help me, because we go into places, you know, we go into dangerous places, we go into bad places, and we're around devils and demons all the time. But I want to be clean in my heart, holy in my heart. I want to be righteous, though I know there's no goodness except of God. Yet we have to submit our bodies to that goodness which is Christ within you, the hope of glory, that that goodness may swallow up your body. For faith is a form of surrender as to the confidence toward Christ. It is a form of surrender as to believe his word, is to deny yourself of your own thinking and to conform more to his way. So then, as you stand here tonight, I love you. I praise the Lord for you. And ladies, be clean. There's a young girl standing right here tonight. You've got trouble with lust. I love you with all purity as a brother, and I want to help you. And I'll do anything to help you. And you're trying to serve the Lord, and you want to go on with the Lord, and you're trying to yield and trying to do right. But see, God knows the secret thoughts of your heart. And in the secret thoughts of your heart, see, you're not giving yourself to God to really get rid of that spirit of lust that's giving you trouble. But you can be free of it. You can be free of it in the fear of God. And you've got a fear of God. But you can be free of it. But you're going to have to believe what I'm telling you. It's not no guessing about it. You stand there, you're just as plain as you can be, no problem as to who you are or what you're doing or whatever. See, as to your thinking. But the thing is, you want to be holy, you want to be godly, you want to be clean, you want to be upright, and you're trying to. But you need to understand what Brother Pike is telling you. See, love the Lord. Set your affection on things above. Put your heart on God. Put your mind right on Jesus. Right on Jesus. I had a young girl here, for a long time she was taken with this. And in the sanctuary, it was there present all the time. It drove her, just drove her. And she kept wrestling and wrestling till she got it under control, to the extent that when she comes into the church, as a rule, it's not very often that I feel it there. It's just as any youth, sometimes things will occur. And you don't have to have you men and women alike, all of you, things strike your mind. But see, the Bible said don't give place to it. No, not for a minute. No, not for a minute. You can love the brethren. You can love the sisters. I can love you. You can love me with all purity, with all reverence, with all respect. Great reverence and respect. So then, you do that. And as to a brother over to my left, brother, don't be discouraged.
Don't feel, as the Bible said, that like you are a dry tree. See, don't feel discouraged. You went and stumbled and you went and staggered. And you went and went done things that was contrary to your conscience. Now you're all tore up, just tore all to pieces over it. But you don't have to be that way. You shouldn't do what you've done. You shouldn't ever do those things because that's so wrong. But when you mess with the stranger, as to Satan, he'll overcome you. He'll overpower you. He'll tear you down. He'll defile you. And if you defile the temple, God will have to destroy it. But the Lord is still looking in your direction. And that he hasn't rejected you. But you really need to do something. You really need to get some strength. Your brethren need to fellowship one with another. And let him that is strong strengthen those that are weak. And don't go surmising in your mind. I'm not against these two brethren that I spoke to. Nor against the little sister. But I am telling you, there's danger. When you play around with spirits, there's danger. So don't come to the house judging the Lord or judging the brethren or judging the pastor. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, that you might be free from those evil, adulterous things. Paul said, fornicators, liars, cheats, all these things, such were some of us, he said, until we were clean, until we were washed, until we were made whole. So there's none good, no, not any. Never lived a good man. Never will live a good man except by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus. Never been a good woman. Never will be a good woman. Even Mary that brought forth Jesus, only in the righteousness of God. So then let's love the Lord and let's be holy and godly and pure. For the Bible said to be holy as he's holy. And he that is holy as he is holy. But it's by his love, his righteousness, by the submission to him as being complete in him and keeping ourselves from the evil one that he should not ever touch us. God bless you. I love you. I feel this clearing up even with a little sister. She took it to heart. She's laid it to heart as to me really knowing her heart and knowing that the thing is so and that she doesn't want it like that. While your hands are up, that proves his good character. While your eyes are closed, I want you to know that I love you. I appreciate the ministry. I have some preachers here, different ones. When they come up here, they start taking their text on the wrong thing. Constantly, without fail, just as sure as they hit this sacred desk, they start with things that pertain to your own privacy of life. And I detest it. I hate it because it's corrupt. And if they wasn't in the wrong kind of condition, they wouldn't do it. So let's have a good heart, not even to speak of them things that are done in secret as to the wrong things. While you're standing there, I'm going to ask Brother Pete to come up and pray. And as Pete comes up to pray with you, I want you to think these things over.